Hey everyone, we'll get you to the show in a second. Just want to give you the heads up about our latest Red Men Plus special offer. If you want even more Liverpool content in your lives, both in video and podcast forms, simply head to redmenplus.com. And if you sign up as a yearly captain subscriber and use the promo code RACE, R-A-C-E, you'll get 50% off a yearly subscription. So yeah, that'll get you covered for the rest of this amazing season, the search for a new manager, the summer transfer window, and pretty much all of the new manager's first season as well. So yeah, redmenplus.com, yearly captain subscription, promo code RACE, and get 50% off. I'll see you all over there. Hope you enjoy this podcast that's about to start right now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult. And that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Hello, welcome to the Red Men TV. It's the Uncensored Match Build-Up Show. It's Liverpool, it's Newcastle, it's 12:30, it's Anfield, it's Premier League, it's not international football. And I am joined by Steve, by John and by Tom for this one. Steve, I'll start with you, mate. Have you enjoyed the international break?
I haven't watched a second of football live. I've seen little clips of Liverpool players doing stuff on socials and I saw Harry Maguire giving a penalty away. But other than that, I've kind of just stayed clear of it. Nice little break. It's been nice. It's very intense football at the minute with Liverpool, and I'm quite an easygoing person, but even I sometimes have been getting wrapped up in it. So I've just been checking Twitter and stuff, making sure no one's got injured. I don't care if they play or don't play or whatever. I've just kind of shied away, as long as no one got hurt. And as far as I know, I'm recording, everyone's come back sound. So nice break for me, I've been all right.
It's a lot of football, though, that's the problem. Like me and Si, the first England game, you're like, Ox has been called up and he's coming on, and we're worried. But then you're thinking, Robbo's had 2 games, Genie and Van Dijk have had 2 games. Like, we've had a break-ish. The players haven't had a break, and I think that's an annoying factor, these international breaks, because it's constant football, and it's been constant football for however long. I mean, and the build now is competitive fixtures all the time, and it's annoying me, to be honest.
I don't get annoyed by international football. People go, international football. I'm like, it's not the international football that does my head in. It's the lack of Premier League football that does my head in. Because I don't watch the international football. I couldn't care less about it.
It's just the injuries that bother me. How many players have we had that have gone away and got injured badly on international duty? That's what bothers me.
It's different training regimes and stuff like that as well. The amount of times we have a set training way for these players. Daniel Sturridge was the one. A set way of playing, and then he'd go and he'd have to do sprints. We're like, there's a reason he's not doing sprints. Come on.
Yeah, he can't sprint.
Yeah.
So we are in a good position. I think I like the fact that we're playing the early game on the Saturday. I mean, it hinders us slightly, and we'll get on to the Brazilian lads a little bit later on in the show, John. But it's a big chance we can go 5 points clear of City. Now, I know that this season's not going to be done and dusted at this time of the year, but we need to put pressure on where we can.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that it's a problem for City this weekend, because they've got the easiest game, I think, of all the top clubs. But at the same time, you want to, if you've got the early game, then it's always great to win it, and then everyone relaxes for the rest of the weekend. And you can watch games and sort of think, well, you know, I'm not bothered, we've got our 3 points. But, I mean, you're right. I mean, City playing second is always better.
Yeah, and Tom, it's the start of a really tough grouping of games for Liverpool. Now, you might look at it on paper and look at the teams that we're playing, and you might disagree with me, but we've got 7 games in 22 days now. After coming off the back, like you said, of lads playing 2 games in the international break, you know, we've got Newcastle, we've got Napoli, we've got Chelsea, we've got MK Dons, Sheffield United, Salzburg and Leicester in 22 days. That's a hell of an amount of fixtures for Liverpool to look forward to.
It is, and this season's already had a lot of fixtures in it for us. If you think about just pre-season, not even competitive games,
and
but going through.
And the Community Shield and the extra Super Cup round that nobody else had to play at other than Chelsea.
And because we were so... Maybe that's where that pre-season stuff will do us good, though, is because we're used to playing over and over and over again. Obviously, we've done it under Klopp so many times. I remember the first season he came in, we played every game of football that we could because we kept drawing in the cups. So we kept going on and on and on. So Klopp knows how to manage these kind of things, and it will be interesting with his rotation. Because he's got to rotate, and it's gonna show weaknesses in the squad. I feel maybe it'll show that there aren't any weaknesses, and that'll be perfect. But I think there's gonna be games where we won't be as strong on the right hand side. Let's say, I remember last season when Trent didn't play on that right hand side, we did struggle to create. I think they were the games where we drew the games, and you're thinking, could that be a factor? But it's one of them. I trust this Liverpool side to have the different parts that we need to be able to fill in different ways, like Jurgen Klopp said before the season.
Do you agree with that, Steve? Do you think Jurgen will rotate during this round of fixtures?
He hasn't got a choice, really, has he? He's got a game every 3 days. He's been rotating a little bit anyway now. You know, he always takes a midfield out. The midfield's very rarely just the same all the time. But the front three are often, you know, they're always going to play when they're fit, pretty much. And the back four, he hasn't changed a lot, has he? But I think he does rotate in midfield. I think he'll have to in these games. You know, I think it's unrealistic to say one player plays all seven. Listen, one of those is MK Dons, so your big guns just shouldn't even be on the bus or the plane, however they get into London, saying just leave them. That's one where you can kind of write off. But he's got no choice. You know, to be fair, he's got the options at the moment. Again, touch wood, everyone's fit and healthy, so. You know, you might be able to drop Origi in for a game or two, and you know, Gomez and Matip kind of one of those, and Trent two of those three play every game, and then like I say, there's an abundance of midfield options. It'd be interesting now with managers Mane and Salah, because the drop off between them and others is massive. I know Firmino to Origi, a big drop off, but in certain games, home games, Newcastle for example, or you can kind of, I think you can still get away with that. I think it's hard to rotate Salah and Mane. It might be that you give them their rest by taking them off. You know what I mean? I don't know. Other than the MK Dons game where they shouldn't even be even considered for it, it'd be hard to not play one of those two. I think I don't think he trusts Shaqiri in a front three. Ox played there in the Super Cup and looked lost. So I don't know. Sometimes he plays Origi left, doesn't he? And that's one option of doing it. But they're the only two. I think Van Dijk will play six of the seven if fit.
Do you not reckon he plays MK Dons?
I think he might be on the beach for that one. And I think Salah and Mane might be the same. With you ask them to just go and go and go, but you try and get them their breaks by subbing them off, because I can't see him resting those too often.
I don't think he'll rest much in the next week, to be honest. It's early in the season. You know, we need to make a statement in all the competitions we're in. So I think, you know, Newcastle... I think that'll be dictated by who's fit after the internationals. I think Napoli will be our strongest team, given how we played there last year. I think Chelsea will be our strongest team, given how tough a game that is. MK Dons, as Steve said, it'll be everyone else. And after that, he's going to mix and match. But again, it's going to be the midfield that changes, because that's really the only area that you can change. I don't think you can change the defence, except maybe Gomez, Trent. And I don't think you can change the attack if they're all fit. And if you're going to change the attack at all, it's going to be one man, and it's going to be Origi, isn't it?
Yeah, okay, well, listen, I did a video yesterday with James Pearce. It's on the YouTube channel, so I'm not trying to ram the website down your throat yet. But not a lot of people have seen it. It's really worth watching. I interviewed James over Skype. Here's a little clip from that show. Where are we with his contract, James?
Well, going back to the back end of July during the tour of America, he gave an interview to the UK media then, saying that his representatives had contacted Liverpool and had inquired back at the back end of last season whether they were willing to talk about an extension. He said at that time that Liverpool said, you know, they weren't in a position at that point that they wanted to do anything about it. Now, what is it? 2 months on, you know, I understand that there have been now initial discussions over a potential extension between Milner's representatives and the club, and that more dialogue is set to follow on that. So, I think, you know, that's the, you know, could you look at the you know, Liverpool have been, you know, very, very shrewd and very decisive with the contracts they've sorted out in the last 17, 18 months. You know, pretty much every player you would want to see sign an extension has done so, and is, you know, most of the squad now are under contract till 2023 or 2024. You know, in the example of Van Dijk and Alisson, for starters. You know, of course, you know, Milner isn't going to get a deal with that kind of length. Mm. But this is the kind of the one in Michael Edwards' in tray at the moment, because he's the one I'd say, you know, real asset that as it stands at the moment. You know, in 3.5 months' time, he could be in a position where he's able to talk pre-contract agreements with overseas clubs. But I hope it doesn't come to that. I think I think Milner made it clear on the pre-season tour that he wanted to stay around at Liverpool. And, although, Liverpool don't make a habit of dishing out big wages to players in the twilight of their career, I think James Milner isn't any old player. I think, I think common sense dictates that you would want him to stick around. And I hope that, to me, a 12-month extension is a bit of a no-brainer for all involved.
Cool. Watch it. It's brilliant. We're going to get back into the build-up show for Newcastle right now. So, Tom, one of the things that John mentioned there is Origi. Is he a player that you think may start in this game, with the fact that Firmino played very early Wednesday morning UK time over in America, along with Fabinho? Do you think those two might both get rested, or just one of them?
I think Bobby gets rested just because of one fit and firing for Napoli. It's hard though because of just how he plays that role for us. He's fantastic, isn't he? But I think Mane can do a job in that number nine. We've seen him shift over into there. Even Salah could do that, but I think last time we did put Origi in, I think Mane was the one to go into the middle, so I think he'll do that again. Look, obviously Origi is not as good, but he did start the scoring off. Was it against Norwich, was it, when he played on the left-hand side? I can't quite remember. But he started the scoring off by whipping the ball in, and it was an own goal.
It was Norwich.
It was Norwich. And it's one of them where he can be dangerous, stands a man up, beats a man, and I think we'll be able to do that against Newcastle, to be honest with you. He might play a bit defensive, but look, I think with Origi's pace, he can damage no matter what he wants to do. So I think, yeah, he will come in. Fabinho, I want him to start every single game that's possible for him to start. And if he doesn't, yes, Gini can come in, but Gini's played a lot of football as well. Henderson's played a lot of football. Who else do we trust to play that number six role? And because Fabinho does it so well, and he's done it to such a high level, I mean, in every single game he's played, I don't know if you can drop him. That's the problem. But I do think Origi comes in on that left.
I must admit, I actually think Fabinho will get a little bit of a rest this time around, and I think it will be Wijnaldum.
I think he'll rest both of them. If you're not going to rest them now, he's going to definitely want them both in Naples, and he's definitely going to want them both to play Chelsea. I think to ask them to fly home on the Thursday, train on a little training / recovery on the Friday, to go early Saturday.
When it's a Tuesday game.
Then you've got Naples on Tuesday, and then you're playing Chelsea next week. I don't think he can do it.
I think
he's flown them back on planes to get them back, but that's for bigger games, away games and stuff. Yeah. I think with it being Newcastle, I wouldn't pick either of them anyway.
It wouldn't surprise me if he left them both out, but I'm like a bit like Tom. I suspect he might just give Fabinho a game. You know?
I think he'll...
He didn't play too much.
It's more the travel. It's more the travel than the play, and I think he'll leave them both out. I don't think, and to be honest, if you can't rotate against Newcastle at home, you're never going to rotate.
Yeah,
because it's what happens when you get to games, isn't it? That because because Man City are amazing, like every game you think it's a must win. So I'd rather have your best team, but you can't pick them all for 38 games, plus the Champions League games in midweek, the hardest group game we're going to have.
Away,
and as I'm saying, yeah, I think he's. At some point, you are going to have to trust the squad a little bit. And if you can't trust your squad to beat Newcastle, then your squad's not good enough anyway. So I think that you need to...
It's a game for Lallana.
It wouldn't surprise me if he
in the six?
that pre-season work coming in.
I wouldn't be surprised if he plays.
I would actually be surprised.
I'd be surprised if he played as a six, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's in the team.
I'd be really surprised if he played him in the team.
I think he might play Ox.
Yeah.
There's a million
permutations, isn't he? But...
And Milner, who had another game, I think.
Milner's the one for me that sits in. I'd have it with, I think it'll be Wijnaldum with Henderson and Milner.
I will play
Milner. There's a three-man midfield that he trusts, yeah, that he knows that can go out there. We're probably playing a 5-4-1.
I'm just thinking Henderson's played a lot of football, though, hasn't he? Two internationals.
I would play Milner left back in this game.
Wow, oh, really?
I was calling Robbo DM.
What's your side then? Robertson can't play every game, and he has to get a rest somewhere, and he's just played games. And again, look at the run we've got coming up, and I want him in Naples. I want him against Chelsea. I want him to play Sheffield United. I want him to play Salzburg, and I want him to play Leicester. So where's he not playing? Every now and then, even last year, occasionally he would just do it once or twice. The year before, you know, didn't Moreno play against Cardiff last year at home? He just dropped him in one time early on. Yeah, that's what I would do. So I would keep Trent.
What's your full side then? Go on.
Well, Adrian, Trent, Matip, Van Dijk, Milner, Wijnaldum, Henderson, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Mane up front with Saldan and Origi on the wings.
Wow.
And I've only made three changes.
But the three big changes, aren't they? That's the
difference. Yeah, but I mean, for me,
I'm not arguing with you.
That team should beat Newcastle. I mean, and again, I know Newcastle went to Tottenham, and I'm not being disrespectful and fair play, but they can't all play every game. It's unreasonable to expect them to do it.
I mean, I thought Gomez might come in at right back rather than Trent, but Trent didn't. You know, he's only played that one international. He didn't do a lot, to be honest. He could always play Gomez at left back, to be honest.
He could, yeah.
Ooh, that's a good show.
And I put Milner in midfield, and Henderson had two games. He might need a rest. So,
well, what about Van Dijk? Are we saying I want him to play
every game? Well, he'll play every league game.
But then, well, what about Champions League? And then I want him in the cups as well. I think
he's not going to play in the cups.
But I think you need a stable base there. I know Lovren needs game time. I know Gomez needs game time. So they will probably come in. But I don't feel comfortable with Van Dijk not being in the team. We're talking about drop-offs in the attack. He's the best player in the world.
He will play every league game and every Champions League game.
I imagine he might even play the FA Cup game, depending on who it is.
Yeah,
but he won't.
If we get a tough first round draw, he plays it. If he doesn't,
he's not rotating. If we get Chelsea in the cup,
no,
you know.
And that's why MK Dons is a good fixture, isn't it? That's why I've come on to play.
We haven't had one of them for years.
This time last year, it was Chelsea. Year. It was Chelsea home, and to be fair, he rotated against Chelsea home, didn't he? In this cup, so
you can't rotate and go through to the next round. That's the problem.
It depends,
and you need to get through to get some games in for your bench players.
And that's it. And the games thing isn't just for the bench players for this season. It's when you're looking to, I've said this for so long, when you're looking to sign players to be part of a big squad, you need to go deep in the competitions. You need to go, you're going to get 10, 15 games. We go to semi-finals, finals every year in those competitions. You can class them as games that we're going to be part
of. Would you leave Firmino and Fabinho out?
I would, absolutely. I would have Wijnaldum, Henderson and Milner, and I would have Salah up top, Mane on the right and Origi on the left, just to mix it up and give Newcastle a little something different to think about. Because I think they're coming, they're going to play 5-4-1. They're going to have that Joe Linton up front on his Todd, aren't they? They're going to play a two-man midfield. With the team they played last time had Longstaff and Hayden in the centre of the park. I imagine that's going to be exactly the same. And then they'll probably play Almeiron somewhere on the right-hand side.
It's funny, we're talking about rotation for this whole time. It's great how we're not that worried, though, because we know that the players can do it, and we know that Klopp knows what he's doing in terms of that as well. And I think it speaks so much about how far this team's come, where, I mean, obviously there are weaknesses in this squad, but you're still fine with Milner dropping in. I'm fine with Gomez dropping in at left back. The centre-half's there that can play. The big one's Origi coming in, but he's shown that he can still
do it.
He'll
be fine playing left wing against Newcastle. I think where we're going to see Origi, again, he had to play Norwich just because Manny was going to just go back. But I think at home against maybe the bottom five or six, I wouldn't be surprised if Origi starts all of them. And I imagine it'll be Firmino more often than how he drops out. He's the one who tends to need a rest or get a rest more than
the beauty of him is he can play the number nine if you need him to, can't he?
Yeah.
You know, and Manny can stay on the left. But and they can switch. I mean, he's versatile enough as a reserve, isn't he, Origi?
I'd back him to score if he plays as well. That's the thing, is that you don't look at him and just think, oh God, we've got absolutely zero chance with this fella. He scores more often than he doesn't, you know what I mean? Even he might have a bad game, but then he'll still pop up with a goal or something. Even against Norwich, like say, he gets the assist for the first goal, he scores the fourth, I think, the header.
Yeah, great ball from Trent.
So he offers a goal threat as well against Newcastle, which is obviously a key.
And we know he scored. He scored the winner there.
He did, yeah.
Didn't he? You know, yeah. It was an 86-minute winner or something in our 3-2 win over there.
Yeah, absolutely.
The big one for me is, and I've put him in my team, is Oxlade-Chamberlain.
He's in my team.
I don't know how he's going to play yet. I'm genuinely, this is a big game for him, for me, because he needs to go out there and prove that he can play that role effectively in the same way that Jordan Henderson is. I've got him on the right-hand side of my midfield. He needs to be able to link up that play. He needs to be able to drive through just like Jordan Henderson can, because that's a massive integral part of our team and how we play now. He needs to be able to do that, and he's shown glimpses of it, but this is a big game if he needs to
do it for a longer, doesn't he? Because he's done it in short patches. He needs now to play 90 minutes and come out with everyone saying, oh, great performance.
I said at the start of the season, I don't think we'll see the best of Ox until gone Christmas. I think it, you know, people said it's like a new signing, and I've said it myself, and I think it is in many ways, in that he's going to take a long time to get used to the system again. The midfield's changed slightly. You know, you think of how Jordan Henderson plays that right midfield role, and he's very much over on the right-hand side, but he's great at whipping those balls in. We see him time after time cross the ball from deep. That's not Ox. Ox doesn't do that. He plays the role in a completely different way. Yeah. He likes to dribble with the ball. He likes to join the attack in a different way.
He played with Henderson at Southampton. Did they both start, didn't they? Am I right in saying? I know the Oxlade-Chamberlain definitely started the way at Southampton. He was on the left, wasn't he, of the three? I think that's where, I think it looks like he's being penciled in for that position. I think that's where he's going to, when we see him this year, I think that's where we'll see him. And he does need minutes in his legs, you're right. And I think, again, home to Newcastle is where you can give him it, because bear in mind, this is the team I've picked. And again, Newcastle went to Tottenham and did the job, didn't they? They beat them 1-0 and stuff. I think our team, if we do make a couple of changes, your bench can still have Firmino on it and Robertson on it. You know, Fabinho could be, you could easily have him on your bench. You've got changes there if you need them to you know, if it's 0-0 after 60, for example, you don't have to absolutely panic. You can just bring Bobby on to box it all off. So I think you've got to be, it's mad because we've had a break. Your first thing is, oh, they've all had a rest, they can all play, but they haven't had a rest, and B, you've got a game every 3 days coming up now. Again, MK Don's aside, he will change, but someone's got to play. You know, some of these lads we've mentioned will be playing. He won't play a reserve kids team, he'll play the squad, you know, your Lovren's and your Shaqiri's and your Divock's and stuff.
Is, if you're bringing someone like Milner in or Ox, they're not reserve players.
No, they're
first team players.
And that's exactly the point, is that they can't all play them all. Yeah. And it'd be great, listen, in an ideal world, they'd all be robots and we'd all say, the team that started in Madrid can just play every game, please.
Shankly's old phrase, wasn't it? Same team as last week.
And we'll be absolutely fine. But
same team as last month.
And then we'll get to January and the legs will fall off. So yeah. he does have to do a little bit of it. And I think now is the time where, bear in mind, especially the lads who haven't been away, which is why you mentioned your Lallanas and your Milners and your Matips.
What about Shaqiri?
He didn't go to Switzerland for a reason. Maybe he has been told, you know what, we go here and we'll do what we did against Southampton last year when we played 4-2-3-1.
Well, I thought he was staying to be in the training around the team and learn the ropes of what he needs to do, because he does need to do his job better.
Well, that's it. I mean, Steve mentioned it earlier on. He doesn't seem to fit that 4-3-3, does he?
If Shaq plays, I think he's only done.
He played all right against Barcelona, I seem to recall, didn't he?
He did, yeah. You know, I thought he was crap in that game.
He was crap.
He was absolute garbage.
He did a good job, though, didn't he?
He got the assist, but he was absolute trash. But I think if he could go 4-2-3-1, which he did at the start of last season, and again, he rotated his midfield doing that, because he started playing four attackers. He got Shaq on with the front three, and that's another way. That's a way where you can get round playing three midfielders every game. Yeah. I wouldn't be overly shocked if he did that. So then all of a sudden, Shaqiri's playing right wing, Mane is playing, Origi's playing left, and you've got Mane and Salah and some type of up front jobby, or you know, Chamberlain's in the 10 or something like that. It wouldn't be a huge shock if he does it, because A, like I say, it gives his midfield a rest, and B, gets you four attackers on against Newcastle, who are coming with a back eight. I think I spoke to
Johnny from Newcastle Fans TV. We've got a full 10-12 minute opposition preview. It's over on the website, redmentv.com. You can go and check that one out. Here's a little clip from it, actually, and he's talking about how bad it is to be a Newcastle fan right now. What does it make you feel like when you think about Newcastle and what it means to you, and you see a genuine lack of ambition?
It's terrible, mate, because, you know, when Rafa came in, even in the Championship, we had, obviously he didn't have enough games to keep us up in the end, but in the Championship we had a bit of ambition to kind of go for it and obviously we won the championship, and then with a championship side, it has to be said, we did extremely well to finish 10th in the Premier League. But that should have been where we should have kicked on. That's where we should have gone, well, let's just try and make this more of a regular thing. But we only spent, I think, £27 million or £30 million. That's not going to keep you up there with the likes of a Leicester and Everton, who were above us at the end of that season. They spend a lot more money. Like Leicester spent £30 million on one of our best players. Mm. That's literally one of our summer transfer windows in the last couple of years. So it just tells you the ambition straight away. Obviously, we have spent a little bit more money in the summer, but we have lost our two best goal threats. Like, we lost 25 Premier League goals last season. And it's like I mentioned, there's a lot of pressure on Joe Linton and Almiron to do well. But it is really sad to say, because obviously before Rafa came and before even maybe Alan Pardew, you know, Newcastle were hovering around, well, even Mike, it's the Mike Ashley era, mate, to be brutally honest here, since Mike Ashley came, and Newcastle were hovering around the top seven. You know, there's always beating the UEFA Cup. You know, we had the odd moment in the Champions League, but obviously UEFA Cup is where we've been really playing our football, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen anytime soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
I actually feel sorry for them. You know, they're a fan base that are rightly applauded for how they support their football team. And he actually said, contrary to the popular opinion, John, attendances are down at Newcastle United. He said there was only 44,000 people in when they drew at Watford or whatever it was. And I think it was the Watford game, he said. And he said it wasn't more than 40. He said they might have sold 44,000 tickets, but Newcastle fans have had enough. And you can understand why, can't you?
Well, you know how bad we felt when Rafa left. Can you imagine how bad they felt when he left? You know, because he was like their salvation, wasn't he? And they get Steve Bruce. I mean, it was just like, you know, if you've got a little pool of mediocre managers who are available, you go, oh, we'll have one of them. Like a free transfer, you know.
It is. But they punched above their weight getting Benitez and keeping him for that long, so they're just back kind of where they are.
They're a kind of club who should be fighting for the championship every year with the support they've got. They've got a decent ground. They totally dominate the northeast of England in terms of football. And yet they just can't do anything because they've been run so badly over the years.
They're getting bent over by Mike Ashley, aren't they, basically? And it is a shame. Me and Si were talking about it the other day. What do they need to do to be able to get rid of him? If they do too well, he wants to stay. If they go back into the Championship, I think he feels more comfortable. I don't know
but
what...
But he wants his money for the sale.
Exactly.
It's devalued if they go down.
Exactly. So then will he stay and then wait to get them back up?
You wonder why he hasn't sold them up to now. I mean, they keep saying he's not getting as much money as he wants, but you know, maybe he is, and he just doesn't really want to sell.
Honest answer from me, he just uses them to advertise his businesses. He's getting a cheap deal on a stadium called whatever it's called. I'm sure it's advertising his company.
Yeah.
He'd have to pay millions to do that with a football club of Newcastle's size.
It's true, actually.
He just uses them as a big bloody advertisement for Sports Direct.
Yeah.
And it's keeping his other businesses in power and stuff. So I think it's terrible. It is a shame.
I like the support that they have. The fan base is fantastic. And I remember we did a show one time. It was on the podcast last season. It was, what club would you want to merge with? And you were all saying, oh, United, so we could get rid of them. And that, and I was like, Newcastle, because I think that would be really nice. I think it's two really nice fan bases coming together, passionate fan bases, great cities and that.
And you've been looking for an excuse to go the match without a T-shirt on for years.
Exactly, you know what I mean? It's one of them. And maybe not with NUFC on me, LFC or whatever, on my chest. But
what would you do? Would you have it tattooed or would you shave it into your chest there?
I think, yeah, you've got to shave it. There's no point tattooing. Shaving it's fine. You can kind of forget about it after that. But or maybe just, no, I was going to say face paint or something, but I don't think they go that far.
No, I don't think they need to be honest.
No. Is your chest big enough for NWFC?
I could maybe go down.
I could fit Newcastle United football club. St James's Park postcode.
I could as well, but I've got no hair to shave it into.
I'd have to put a full tattoo. It cost me about £500. Then when that Van Venegor Hesseling signed for Celtic and his name was like that on the back,
that'd be Newcastle's name.
I'm commissioning a mural on my own body.
Sponsored by Sports Direct, Newcastle St James.
Absolutely brilliant. Okay, one final player that I think he's been in the news so much. We mentioned him from the Pearce article. Is Matip just purely first choice? This feels like the first show that we've not talked about Matip. You mentioned Gomez and Trent, John, but we've not talked about Gomez and Matip for the first time.
For me, yeah, he's first choice. I wouldn't change that. That's one thing that I wouldn't change as often as I could. I think he will spell Matip just because he's shown that he will in the past. But for me, until something different happens, then those two play. And that Joe Gomez might come in, and I wouldn't be shocked if Gomez starts in Napoli, for example. And if he does well, then it's his year. You know what I mean? It's kind of one of those. But I don't think, I wouldn't be resting Matip now. Again, he's had a proper break. He's been off for a couple of weeks. He was in good form before the break. I thought he's probably been our best defender this year, this season. He's probably had less poorer games than Van Dijk. I think they've both been brilliant, and Van Dijk's clearly better than him. But on form, I think he's been a little bit better. That's the one thing, when you are making changes everywhere, I do like to keep that the same. Especially with the fella behind them, isn't the main man. I think I would keep those two there and for as long as possible. And they don't do that much running, and I can't imagine they're going to be doing that much running in this one. They might get legged around Naples in a few days' time, but I think for this one, I would be happy to go with
them. I don't like changing the defence, and I've always said Gomez and Van Dijk is what we need, is the future, get on with it. But I have to say that at the moment, Matip is the second best defender we've got. And I think he should be playing week in, week out. Eventually, he'll get injured and Gomez will come in. Mm-hmm. And that might well be
kind
the end of it.
Kind of sort itself out, yeah.
But I think the fact that they've mentioned his contract being extended, you know, just this week, I think that's just a signal to say, yeah, he's second choice now.
Okay.
And Gomez and Trent, you know, will alternate. If you need a defender, then you put Gomez in. You know, if you need to attack more than Trent.
Okay, just a little bit on the rival fixtures then. There's actually some tasty little fixtures looking around the league this weekend.
Yeah.
3 o'clock Saturday is Man United Leicester at Manchester
Who's the rival
United.
In that one?
Leicester?
Yeah.
That's going to be an actual interesting game, that.
Leicester, no, it is. I think Leicester are better than them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Genuinely. Yeah. Have we got four yays for Leicester?
I want Leicester to win, and I also think he will.
If I was offered either squad to play a game for my life, I would pick Leicester at the minute, I think.
And if you had to pick between Rodgers and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer as manager?
Yeah, I mean, shit on Ollie. He's fucking useless. I would pick Leicester's by him. I think Leicester got more. I think Man United have probably got more superstar players. They've got a couple and Leicester haven't really. But 1-11, Leicester's squad and team seems much. They've been really good this year.
They're a better team, aren't they?
I think James will still score a world.
I mean, Daniel James will score, cut inside and score.
And then, you know, do his pose.
Yeah. But then Leicester
will... But it'll be 4-0 at the side of Leicester, so...
Leicester will cause them issues,
okay.
I think.
One of the 1,000 London derbies that happens a year, Spurs Palace at 3 o'clock.
Well, if Newcastle can go there and win, Palace can.
Palace are in form as well. Aren't they, like, in terms of since January... Third in the form table.
They're fourth in the league, yeah, and Spurs are ninth.
No one's left fewer goals in the Palace at the minute. You mean this is Spurs should win, but that isn't easy. Again, Spurs haven't looked brilliant in any game so far.
They don't start seasons well anyway, do they?
No, look, if something doesn't smell right at Spurs, something's off. I don't know what it is. Like,
He was losing the Champions League.
That doesn't help. There's fractions.
You do get a bit of a hangover sometimes. Some teams, yeah,
didn't,
not great.
Didn't Pochettino say if he'd won, he'd have left anyway?
Yeah, it's just weird, isn't it?
There's rumours about Vertonghen and Harry Kane hating each other.
And Eriksen.
Really? Eriksen. Is that because in training Kane goes down for penalties every time he goes near him?
I think there's a lot going on at Spurs that it doesn't. Again,
I think Pochettino will be manager of Man United come the end of the season. I really, really do.
He's
Kane will end up playing there next year.
Yeah. I think Spurs will win that one. Because they got more.
Be diving in Old Trafford next week, the next year.
We get some great wages.
They say it's a theatre, don't they? Like some Danny Kane made for that shit. Okay, next one, Wolves, Chelsea. Another good game, another tough game.
Terrific. Yeah.
Well, Wolves have started off really bad, even though they've been. They've won a game. Yeah,
to be shite.
You know what I mean? But I really thought that they'd do well, to be honest with you.
You know,
a good squad.
Same as Burnley last year. They start well because they trained early and
they rested players against Everton.
Yeah,
for the Europa League. Yeah. So it's obvious where their priorities lie. Yeah. It makes sense as well. You know, it's very unlikely they would take 10th and a proper Europa League run than.
And why not?
They won't like losing at home though. So
it'd be hard to go to Wolves. I think. Yeah, and Chelsea. Chelsea at the back.
Chelsea, when they played us, their attacking play, if Kante plays in that role that he played against us, which he should do, he was unbelievable, properly on fire. They've got Pulisic in
there. Abraham started scoring goals.
They will probably win.
I said, after seeing Chelsea in the Super Cup, I think Chelsea make top four because of Kante. Yeah. Because I just looked at him and the way that he played against others, I was like, you can't beat them when he's in that form. And if he plays like that,
Pulisic looked like a good buy, didn't he?
But at the back, they are... Shocking. Yeah. Like Sheffield United battered them. I know from the second Chelsea scored to make it 2-0, Sheffield United were all over them. Mm-hmm. And it was, they've got, it's Zouma, Christiansen and Tomori at the minute. Obviously Rudiger's out, he's a massive loss for them. Chelsea look like you can score past them a lot. They look like they're a 2-all type of team. And obviously, which of course, that's what they drew, but they look like that type of team.
The 5:31, genuine rivals, is Norwich City. So City, for the first time in what feels like 20 weeks, don't have Brighton at home, which is really interesting.
Bournemouth at home at 3 o'clock.
And they always just seem to have one of them at home. And it's like, are you having like 40 home games a year?
Some team turns up at the Etihad in like an Illuminous kit. They're always in like an Illuminous kit. And they let 6 in.
It's going to be interesting, though.
One in five minutes.
Yeah. They don't have Laporte. And look, Pukki's been on fire. It'll
6
be nice. The way Sterling was playing for England last night, he's just on fire. The way Kevin De Bruyne was playing for Belgium, their players are genuinely on fire. It's frightening to watch them. It's
frightening that you actually know what happened in the international break. I'm sitting here on the long. Belgium.
Kevin De Bruyne set up 3 and scored 1. Against Scotland. I only watched it for the Scotland thing to see if Robbo did.
But I think even I could set up 3 and score 1 against Scotland.
Yeah. No, but he was fantastic and City. I think they're just going to win.
City. I mean, Sterling now looks on a different planet.
De Bruyne is
fantastic.
I think
he's already an early nomination for Player of the Year. If you're putting money on a player, I think it's between De Bruyne and Sterling.
He's unreal, De Bruyne. He's unbelievable.
It's scary. Good.
And then final ones, Bournemouth have got the Ev. And then Watford have got Arsenal, so that's another London-ish derby. Did they count that?
I mean, it's
probably.
It's 20 minutes on the train, which is like...
Have Watford changed their manager again yet? I mean, they do it every 2 days.
They've gone back to the old one, haven't they, Watford?
To be fair, they've upgraded in the looks department, that manager. Great. I don't know if he's a better manager, but Kike's a...
Didn't they get rid of him?
Yeah, and they downgraded in terms of looks. Probably a better manager, got them to a cup final. But, Watford have been dreadful recently, so this is what they do. Arsenal will win that one.
Yeah.
And then Everton Bournemouth.
That's a 0-0.
Everton Bournemouth is just a draw, isn't it? I think they draw every time they play each other, those two. I mean, when Everton fans done a pitch invasion when they scored the 95th minute winner, and then they had done added on time, and then Bournemouth scored because of the time that was added on.
They're terrible for that. They let off a flare somewhere and celebrating the draw.
They were singing that time, important and then Coutinho scored the top bin. Do you remember that one as well?
Yeah, I don't know why they bother, to be honest.
Go next door and ask them what they thought.
So there you go. Before we go then, I want your score predictions for this game. I'm going first, sorry. It's 2-0 to Liverpool. I'm going to say I think it's going to be more difficult than we think, but equally, one goal in each half and walk away onto Napoli.
No, I think we batter them. I think we absolutely batter them. I think we go out there and show dominance again because we have to. Even with a changed up side, I think we just don't stop, and I think it's going to be a 4-0.
4-0, John?
1-0.
1-0. tough game.
Steve Bruce, keep it tight for 80 minutes and then try and snatch one.
I mean, you are talking about 1-0 to the pool, though, yeah?
Yeah.
5-0.
5-0.
Yeah. Salah hat-trick.
Just not normally, like, me and John have probably gone what equal way, and then you two have
gone 2-0, but you've gone 2-0.
Oh, really? There you go, then. It's quite a split. Normally, we're all like 3-0, 4-0, and we're all roughly around the same.
We played Burnley, and they came to stifle us, like Newcastle are probably going to do, and we just went no. And we made it comfortable, and I think we're going to do it again.
Yeah, we're boss.
Okay. I hope you two are right, and I hope me and John are wrong.
Who cares?
To be stood up on the cop with nothing to worry about after 5 minutes.
Yeah.
That would be lovely. But there you go. That has been the Uncensored Match Build-Up Show. Don't forget to check out the Reds News Roundup. Steve hosted this week over on theredmentv.com. Absolutely brilliant. Big segment of that was out yesterday if you've not seen it on the YouTube channel. That's the type of stuff that we do week in, week out. Reds News Roundup, redmentv.com. £5 a month. First month is free. Thank you very much for watching. Like the video, subscribe, and we'll see you next time. Ta-ra.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.